father. It is time for the mortals to pay. Release the Kraken!
We are with Britney Spears, Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We're global. Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation.
Today we have a very special show. I'm trying to load something very important, but I just can't see it. I hope I get it soon, because I can't see it at all. Anyway, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We're global. My name is Brian Hammer Jackson. You're on the Brian Hammer Jackson Show with the MVPOnDemand.com network via BTR, Blog Talk Radio. I usually don't do pre-radio interviews. I include with Kelly or Diane. Today we are. I did. I want to introduce the MVP players. Hey, how's that, guys? I want to introduce Diane Mears-Dillon, Jeffrey Bertrand. They are the producer of the board. They will manage the board. If you get out of hand, Jeffrey will come over there and hit you with a bat. Good morning, Diane.
President whack job.
And good morning, Jeffrey.
Morning, brother.
How you doing? I want to introduce my executive producer, Kelly Corbin. Thank you, Kelly. Kelly and I had a talk this morning. We didn't know what we were going to do, and then something fell in our lap, and we're doing this story. Good morning, Kelly Corbin.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. And back briefly from her appointments and on assignments and filming, she had one day off. She's back with us in the studio. Carrie Brooks. Good morning, Carrie Brooks.
Good morning.
Good to hear your voice.
Oh, I don't know how long you're going to hear that. You know, being on set, you know, a lot of screaming, especially for me, so losing my voice.
Hey, that's the best thing I've heard, that you're on the set.
I know, it is so awesome.
Yeah, well, you're awesome. We're going to get right to it. So this morning, Kelly. thank you, Kelly.
I'm never afraid.
I'm never afraid, though. I don't know. I wish I could be. What is fear? I haven't really felt fear. I think I felt it one time. I remember back when I was 6 years old, when I was riding my bike, I crashed into a car and almost ran over my fingers. Other than that, nah. But thank you, Deb. I'm hearing my feedback. Anybody else hearing me? Want my feedback?
No.
Wow.
No.
I'm hearing feedback in my ear. Damn, I'm annoying.
I think it's just
you
your
must
brain.
You must be listening to your own voice now for the first time.
I think so. Nice to have you back, Carrie. So,
huh?
Yeah, we missed you. As me and Kelly were talking about what to do to the show, we got this letter. Actually, Kelly got this letter. It's an opening letter. Kelly, should we do our letter theme? Diane, can you see where it says message theme while I find the letter? Can you play that for me, please? It has to be official.
Here, let me look for it. I don't know. Oh.
Okay.
Yes, Diane.
I'm got so much stuff on here. Damn.
Okay.
You need to clean that board up.
Yeah. Well, you know,
is it
we couldn't hire them. Yes. It's Jingle. Kelly.
Thank you so much for dropping me a line. I must not have gotten to my phone on time. It's either that or I didn't hear it ring. So please leave me a message when you hear the ding.
Ding.
All right. Now we're official. So we
so
got
I
a
got
letter.
Because it says message jungle. So it doesn't say jingle.
See? Told you.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. These, if you look at these, I typo a lot, but I'm hoping you wouldn't share it to the public. But thank you, Diane.
You're welcome.
And Kelly had Kelly had to confirm it. And Kelly had to confirm it. See, he told you.
Anyway.
Uh-huh. Anyway. Why? I don't see anything here. I'm looking at something while I'm trying to do the show, and I may have carried... this is weird. It's not the music is not loading, and I wanted to load this gentleman's music, and it's not loading at all. I don't see it loaded unless 1 second here. No?
Did you get my message last night during the Dodger game?
No, I didn't. What did your message say?
There's that player on the Cardinals. His name is John Jay.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, is that John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt?
She does this all the time. pretty good, Diane. I'm not, it's not loading on my thing, and this is really strange because it's going to throw me off. That means I won't be able to play the gentleman's music. I don't understand why he's not doing this. We're going to have to go to Carrie. Good thing Carrie's here. But let me tell you what's going on. We got the letter. Here's the letter. Here it is. Good morning, you idiot. This is Kelly. Nope, not that one. Thank you, Kelly, for writing me.
You're welcome.
Here it is. Kevin Upkins. This is the gentleman we're talking about. And this is him. Kevin Upkins. I'm actually in prison right now, fighting in a movement against a wrongful conviction and life without parole sentence for armed robbery I knew nothing of. And he checked out his check out my timeline for further details. Also, I have a hit single that's flourishing the streets, and I'm running both pages. And the last one we got right before we went on the air, Kelly is, come on, help me out, Kelly. You, do you remember the last one we got, Kelly? Was
the last letter that he wrote?
Yeah.
That one?
Well, go ahead and read it if you have it, because I'm looking for it.
I just put it on your IM.
Okay. This is his last letter. This is from Kevin Upkins. I agree that I found you for a reason. I've been grinding out this for nearly 3 years, but I've been down for about 5. I promise you that you won't regret this either. Within a year of my release of my album, we'll be number one in the country. If the judge denies this trial, we're scheduling a press conference on the Capitol downtown. Trust me, I met, rallied, marched, and spoke with people, all kinds of people around the world on different things. And also we have Pastor Vision Jones, who is a man I look up to, is a man that I listen to, is a man that has words to inspire you. And the irony of things is that when I first met Pastor Vision Jones, he was doing a campaign. There was a man who was in prison. Pastor Jones believed that this man was innocent. He was railroaded, but he was facing the death penalty. So I got Pastor Jones on the show, and I listened to him. I talked to him, and we became involved, and I guess unsuccessfully, I'm sorry, because the story really intrigued us. So now we come back again. This is another man in prison who claims he's innocent. He happens to be in Georgia, where Pastor Jones resides. Pastor Jones had dealings with this gentleman. And Pastor Jones wrote, perhaps there is something to this, and we must look into it further. There's a reason for this. There's a reason it came to us again. So that's what Pastor Jones wrote. And so now we're on Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. We have been successful in getting interviews with controversial subjects. This is one that this is dealing with a man's life, getting the word out. I saw a little bit of an interview he has done, and I was hoping to load it for you, but it's not loading. I don't understand what's going on. I'll try it again. So I want you to hear the interview.
Brian, I also need to mention that Kevin has gone to lunch with his dorm in prison, and he should be here on time, but if he's a few minutes late, that's what's holding him up. He is at lunchtime right now, and he will be in trouble if he doesn't go to lunch. So he went to lunch, and he'll be back.
Okay. Hopefully he will be back, or else we're going to do a live broadcast with somebody escaping from prison.
Yeah, let's hope so. We don't want to follow him on the run.
There you go, Kelly.
We
want
to follow him to freedom.
We know you're innocent, but we need the story. We are not afraid to put Kelly in prison with a bunch of guys who haven't seen a woman in 20 years.
Thank you.
Hey.
So kind of you, Brian.
We need the show. Carrie would volunteer.
They wouldn't want me in prison. I'm contagious, I think. They don't want all this crud I've got going on.
I don't think they're going to. And prison love, I don't think you're going to see when it's coming. Anyway. Carrie, at this point, I'm going to do some adjusting because I wanted to get this gentleman's story out. I wanted to get him on the radio. So tell us about what you've been filming, and welcome back to MVP On Demand.
I am filming a movie with Dean Cain, who is, quite well known. He was Superman in Lois and Clark, a series that was on not too long ago. And he's got a new series on, what did he tell me? I think it's on VH1 called Hit the Floor. They start filming on that in January.
I think I've actually heard something about that, Harry. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's like I forgot. I am so tired. It's like I have jet lag, even though I haven't been, per se, on a plane somewhere. It's like all of a sudden it's hit me. But we've been on set for like 14-hour days the last...
Oh, gosh.
Well, you know, we have, it's a feature film called The Horse for Summer.
Uh-huh.
And we only had Dean for 5 days, and he's the main character, so we had to shoot every single he was in. You know, and made sure we had it in the can before he left, so.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It was, hit the ground running and go for it. And we've had so much fun. It was just awesome.
That's cool.
Lee Merriweather, who was. One time, yeah. And secretary on Barnaby Jones. She was in it. She flew in and spent the day with us yesterday.
I didn't know she was still alive.
Honestly, I didn't know that Lee Merriweather was either.
Pardon me?
I said, honestly, I didn't know that Lee Merriweather was either. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is an awesome lady. Absolutely awesome. I'm just having so much fun. It's like, you know, there's just no place better in the whole world than on a set, you know, doing things, working, being creative, and just absolutely having a ball.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
When's
I can't
it
wait
coming
to
out, Terry?
It'll be... comes out, I think, next year is what it's scheduled. They've already got distribution in, well, 4 countries that I know of. And there's a lady that came over from Australia to be in it. She just, you know, loves doing things so much. She has an airline, and her daughter came over to, you know, be extras in the movie. So that tells you
how
special this is, because they came from Australia to be extras in this movie.
Wow.
So we are.
Is it
getting,
going to DVD or is it going to be released in theaters?
It's going to be a theatrical release.
Excellent.
They're going to have, you know, red carpet and all kinds of stuff. You know, I'm not, like I said, you know, I don't, because I've just been so busy, I don't know when the release date is or, you know, anything like that, because just go, but, you know, after it all calms down, then, you know, I got time to figure that out, but, yeah, it's actually pretty awesome.
Well, excellent.
Well,
no wonder you're out.
Chris. Chris Wilkins, is that his name? The guy from Blue Lagoon.
Oh, yeah. The kid?
Yeah, the young blonde boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in it, too.
Oh, awesome. Wow. And you're shooting this, Carrie? Is this your production company that's doing this?
No, I'm just, I'm actually just working in, I'm doing the, I'm prop master on this set.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they just sent out a thing, said we need people to help us. So I sent them a note and I said, this is what I do. What do you need help with? And they sent it back and said, you take care of all of our props. And I said, okay. So, you know, I get to make the sets and set everything up, make sure it's all there. And, you know,
excellent.
It's one of those duty things, you know, every time somebody touches something or puts it down, you got to make sure that the next shot, you know, it goes back and all that good stuff.
Right.
Well, that sounds pretty good. What we're going to do, I can't load this, and I don't know why it's not loading, and I can't get it, but I do have it up, and we're going to have to bear with me going to speaker, which I don't like, but it's very important that we get the story. So, first, this is like 30 minutes, and it's a hard 30 minutes, but it's important. And just let me know when Pastor Jones come in, and let me know if you hear it clearly, Kelly. You have me on IM. I'm going to put the phone to it. You're not going to believe what this phone is like, so I won't be able to hear anybody, but I'll be able to see you, okay? So let me know if it plays clearly. And this is a story about Kevin Upkin. This is a Kevin Upkin story. The person's doing an interview. I guess it's a show called The Ron on Tony Show. So he's interviewing. He's in prison, and he's interviewing his wife,
Ron
Tamika.
Ron Anthony, I think it is.
Is it Ron Anthony? Okay, it's A-N-T-H-O-N-I. So Anthony? Okay. Here we go. Now, Kelly, you just let me know if it comes out okay.
Okay.
Ron Anthony Show. I'm Ron Anthony. We're here at New Order National Human Rights Organization. This is a beautiful place. People, you need to make sure you come by, and we'll put the address right up on the screen. You need to come by and talk to Mr. Gerald Rose. That's my co-host. This is the Ron Anthony Show. We love you. You all stay tuned. Welcome back to the Ron Anthony Show. Once again, I'm sitting here with Tamika Upkins, and just as I said, we have some information for you about Tamika Upton. She has a beautiful little boy, and it's from her husband who's incarcerated. People, from what I've seen, is that families are being taken away for something that never happened, and it's happening to our black families. And I have Tamika here, as I said. And Tamika, how have you been handling this, you know, as far as taking care of your son and how the kids, how they're handling this, going back and forth? Because I know I've talked to you before, and you're going, you know, you're taking all of them to see your husband.
Well, we are taking it one day at a time, and if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would just literally break down. But my husband is also helping because he's like, I'm coming out of here. I didn't do this. I'm coming out. So I have that. I have Mr. Rose. I have his attorney, Ken Muhammad. I also have you sometimes as a support system.
Okay. And now, since you've been going through this, have you gotten any type of support from, I mean, like, any people from the judicial system? Do they call you, let you know what's going on? I mean, have you talked to people at the Capitol?
I spoke on the floor at the Capitol once with Senator Donzella James. Invited me to tell my husband's story at the Capitol once. I've been to several organizations for help. They promised to help, but nothing ever manifested from it. I'm just, anything that I can do to get this story out, to tell what happened to my husband, I'm doing it, constantly doing it. I'm constantly writing. I just script a letter to Governor Deal, letting him know my husband's situation. So anything that I can do, I'm doing it to get my husband's situation out.
Well, I really hope Governor Deal do something, because I can elaborate on that. I've sent letters in my situation. Nothing happened. And, you know, I mean, that's a good thing. Just make sure you keep your paper trail, because any type of paper trail, you can say, look, I talked to this person, that person, anything, because this is what I do as far as your emails, because it helps a lot. Now, I do have your attorney here, and before I speak to him, I wanted to find out from you, how are you paying for all of this? Do you need support? I mean,
struggling. I am literally struggling. I had to minimize my living from a 3-bedroom apartment to a 1-bedroom. I now have 3 kids that are at home with me now, but I'm just literally struggling going through it.
People.
I went from 2 incomes to 1.
Say that again.
I went from 2 incomes to 1.
People, if you're looking at this, and I'm sure you are, from the ratings, I'm going to, her email address is right.
We're going to continue the story. We have our guest who just arrived, but Kelly, did you give me a link about, and I'm hoping to do this really quickly, about how many people who are incarcerated or who were incarcerated, and they spent so many years in prison, they were found not, you know, they didn't do the crime and released. I don't know where that link is. This is the stats you wanted. I think this is it right here, and we're going to get right to it. Lately on the news, you guys been hearing it. People who are wrongly accused, who were convicted of a crime they did not do, years later, they were, you know, with the help of some legal aid services and people who believe in them, they got the case overturned and found out that wasn't the person. I don't understand it with the world with the DNA and stuff, but it still happens. In Columbus, Ohio, about 10,000 people in the United States may have been wrongfully convicted of serious crimes each year. 10,000. A new study suggests, and I can tell you why, but I'm going to read this. The results are based on a survey of 188 judges, prosecuting attorneys, public defenders, sheriffs, and police, sheriffs in Ohio, and 41 state attorney generals. The study also found that most important factor leading to wrongful conviction is eyewitnesses' misidentifications. Now, we did a story on this about 3 months ago, where they said the reason why there's a lot of people who are in prison who are innocent is because a lot of these young men cannot afford a decent attorney. They go to a public defender. Now, when you go to a public defender, he has like thousands of cases that he has on his docket, and he really doesn't have time to put in an investigator and PI and blah, 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 find all the evidence he needs to prove. So what he does, now, this is according to the paperwork, they encourage you to plea. And a lot of innocent people plea. I'm not saying everybody's in prison is innocent. Just listen to the stats. 10,000, papers don't lie, about 10,000 people in the United States, a majority of them are black. Majority, if I had to guess, 10,000, I would say, probably say 9,995. Anyway, this, I'm not joking. This is not a joke. And but this can happen too. This is not a black thing. Right now it is. It's a big, big problem in our community. I am black, and it's a big problem. We knew about this ever since I'm a kid. But don't think just because you're non-black that this cannot happen to you. There's a lot of white people. There's a lot of Asian people all across the board who are being wrongfully convicted because they don't have the money to get themselves a decent attorney to prove their innocence. I'm not going to hold everybody this long. The gentleman is here, Kevin Upkins, and I'm going to open up the board right now. I'm going to introduce Pastor Jones, who have dealt with Kevin Upkins. And would you like to make a statement, Pastor Jones? Pastor Vision Jones.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Brian. Once again, my condolence to you and your family.
Thank you, sir.
For your loss. Your mom,
thank you.
And our prayers always going out to you. I can't wait to get into the meat and potatoes of this one. I don't think you have enough time on your show, but this is a common practice done to particularly minorities, people who are poor. And to be honest with you, just preface, Kevin Upkins was prosecuted in one of the worst offending counties there is, which is Clayton County, Georgia. And there is so much on the hand of things going on in Clayton County that even a sheriff who has had over 30 felony indictments on him won election. It's a kind of, that's really crazy over there. So I'm really excited to get into this and so that he can share his story. We have connected before, Kevin and I, and I also know Gerald Rhodes, who is with New Order, who is assisting with the clip that you talked about earlier.
Thank you, sir. Again, that's Pastor Jones. I think of this man as a higher power. I cannot tell you. Pastor Jones came to me in an hour of grief, but he's also come to me as a friend, and I value his opinion and his words very dearly. Without further ado, Mr. Kevin Upkins, thank you, sir, for coming to the show. Mr. Upkins, would you like to share your story?
Yes, most definitely. Long story short, the county that I was convicted in, it's actually Douglas County. David McDay, he's the head district attorney out there. You know, May 21st, you know, we went for the new trial hearing. You know, we had a nice body of people in the so pretty much we just been waiting on the ruling. But you know, in reference to my innocence to my relation to this case, I never been to Douglasville a day in my life. I never visited, went to school, went shopping, or even called anybody in that town ever before in my life. Nearly 7 months after the incident occurred, you know, that's when, you know, the sheriff showed up in Atlanta with an arrest warrant and brought me out to Douglasville. You know, they claimed that my print was on some checks, and I'm telling them it's impossible. It's not possible that my print's on them checks. I've never been out here. So, you know, if they're saying that, then, you know, give us the evidence, you know, like the law requires, 10 days before trial. Because, you know, my wife and I, we struggled up the money to get the paper consultant, you know, fingerprint expert. And we just pretty much just gave him money for nothing because he was not able to, you know, get the items, inspect or examine them, or, you know, or even consult with them. You know, because they made them known at the DA's office, you know, one day before trial, they submitted the evidence. You know, no physical evidence, no eyewitness, no, everything in the trial was testimony. They didn't even have any paperwork from the APHIS system, you know, saying that it was my friend. Everything was just testimony.
Well, Mr. Upton, let's go from the beginning. Now, Mr. Upton, do you have a record? Do you have a previous record that the police have on file of you, of any past criminal activity?
Yes, yes, I have. You know, like the neighborhood that I'm from, I'm from the west side of Atlanta, off of Bankhead, and it's a pretty rough neighborhood, you know, especially coming up in a kid. And I didn't have a father, and I lost my mom at an early age. But,
I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, as I got older, you know, after my first, you know, little bid, you know, I realized that that was something that, you know, I didn't like, you know, the positioning, you know, being told, you know, when to eat, go to sleep, and so on. You know, I didn't like that position. So, you know, when I got out, you know, that was the hardest I ever strived toward legitimacy. You know, 3 months afterwards, that's when I met my wife. As a matter of fact, the day that they say this incident occurred, that was the day I met my wife in East Point, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's some ways away from Douglasville, but, you know, I started, you know, we mingled, you know, got closer. Then I got into what I, you know, do best, which is music. You know, I got into the studio recording. And I went to performing in several clubs all over the, you know, state and even other counties. Every talent show, every club performance I ever entered, I won. Then, you know, a lot of people that's on the radio today from Atlanta who doing their thing, you know, I'm familiar with them or they familiar with me. So I had no reason, you know, the success that I was enduring at the time, all that, I had no reason for even going that route.
Now, were you out on probation at the time they arrested you?
Yes, sir. I was. I had probation in DeKalb County, but me and my probation officer, like the first, you know, when you first get out, you have to report within, I think, 72 hours, and you know, I had already been in the studio, did my paperwork, and I already had blueprints for when I was in. So I got out, you know, and I went up there to meet them, and I was up front with them, you know, because whether you like it or not, the probation officer, they're policing your life. So I ain't no need to go in incorrect, you know, lying or whatever, bumping heads, because this is the guy who's been assigned to police your life, at least the agreement that y'all are coming to. So, you know, I was always up front with him, and he was real cool with me. We never had any issues about anything, no reporting, my fees, none of that.
Well, they mentioned that not only... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kevin. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Brian, can I ask a question?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Pastor, please.
Kevin, hi. This is Pastor Vision. How are you?
Hi, Ms. Riff.
I actually think Ryan is asking a question because it may answer a question that most of us have. When he asked about the previous record, you have been sentenced to life. Is that correct?
Is this how it's sentenced to life without parole?
Life without And that's reserved for, I mean, not even the Barbie Bandits got anything near what you're getting. I'm very confused as to how this offense led to a life. Did you have three strikes again for three felonies or two other felonies previous to this?
Well, like my conviction record looks like, you know, I have dealt by receiving that was in 97.
No violent crime, just
nothing violent. I haven't never been arrested for anything violent, nor convicted. And then these convictions are well over 10 years old. They were, you know, well over 10 years old at
the
time of trial.
Being the case, can I ask you why in your mind, in your estimation, what do you think precipitated them giving you a life sentence, sir?
To me, it's preposterous because you see guys in here, you know, who have murder cases. Then you hear some of the details. You know, everybody won't tell you everything, but you get wind of some of the details in some of these cases, and it is just the fact that they took a life. They, you know, these people have 30 years life with the possibility of parole.
Right.
I'm talking about these people told me life without parole, there's no physical evidence, the, you know, my alibi pans out. It wasn't no investigation, you know, done toward the case. You know, I tried getting attorney affairs involved. You know, we wrote city manager. I wrote grievances on the situation. Still have those copies today. You know, I don't understand it. I believe they were trying to make an example out of me because I was one of the guys, you know, seeing what was going on in the county, in Douglas County. And, you know, I used to talk to a lot of the young dudes and help them to get, you know, grab some kind of understanding of what the law states.
So you think it's because the system?
Say that again.
Do you think it's perhaps because you buck the system? Because oftentimes when they give you these plea deals, if you just do this time and go away. So do you think perhaps that because you got an attorney and you tried to get experts, they said, well, look, as in past days, they would say he might be a smart one, you know. We're going to really do something to him, because that's really extreme to me that you get life without parole. And first of all, as your attorney mentioned, fingerprint evidence is very questionable. In many cases, you cannot use it. DNA is more accurate. They have none of that on you. Witnesses can be coerced, and that has happened in cases such as the Troy Anthony Davis case. So do you think that maybe just they decided to make an example out of you, that's why you got life without parole here?
I know for a fact that I was being made out of an example, because, you know, they have cameras inside the county jail. They monitor everything you do with the mail, your phone calls, even watching you in there. So, they, you know, they knew that I was the son of, you know, of a lot of these guys, you know, going to the law library and things of that nature. But, you know, in this case, and even in the 911, you hear the lady, she couldn't give a description. The detective testified that she said he declined to do a photo lineup because she said if she saw him in the future, she wouldn't know what they looked like. But 2 years later, on the day of trial, on the stand, I'm the only black man in the courtroom sitting at the defense table. Only black man, period, in the courtroom. She was sure and positive on the stand at the time in front of the jury that I was the person who robbed her.
Wow.
So, you know, I know for a fact, I was made out of an example, you know, for the guys around the jail and whoever else was tagging along with me, you know, in this fight. But I know I didn't do it, so there's no way in the world I would stop doing what I'm doing.
Well, you know, I got to say, Kevin, that whether, and I'm not saying you're, I believe you're innocent, but whether you were guilty, this is really a travesty of justice. I don't know if you've heard of Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow, and it talks about these, I would call them rackets that the courtroom does, as Brian introduced and said. Oftentimes these plea deals are given by public, what I call public pretenders, because they are really given no time to look over evidence. And according to your attorney, the expert didn't even have time to look at the checks, because the checks were once considered lost. And then the day off the court, they somehow miraculously appeared, and he had to give a testimony on them at the time that they did that, which would make it very difficult for him to take it and do any form of good analysis anyway. So he would just have to come up with an answer because he was subpoenaed in court, according to your attorney.
Exactly.
I'm going to give the show back to Brian, but there are certain troubling questions in your case, talking to you, and some things that I do know that are happening. And there are many frivolous things today that they're considering felonies that have nothing to do with violence and you carrying a weapon or anything like that. There was no gun found in this armed robbery they're charging you with? Okay, so they have no fingerprints. They have no DNA. They have no DNA. They have no gun. They have no weapon. They have no video of you committing an armed robbery, correct?
No.
They have no one that's been...
And then this was inside security business who deal with money, and then they where it's located is inside a plaza. No video footage, period. I'm like, come on, man.
So you're serving life without the possibility of parole with basically no evidence, and this is a deep flaw in the system. And as I said, I'll give it back to Brian, but your case is very troubling, and I would love I don't want to ask questions Brian will probably ask. But I would love to see how we can I'm going to connect with Gerald again, Gerald Rose, who is with New Order. Your wife said that she went to other organizations. Do you know what other organizations she went to asking for help that did not show up in your case?
We dealt with several groups, and which ones, everybody offered.
Is there anyone helping you now outside of what you're doing and what your wife is doing for yourself? Has any group or organization, are they actively helping you now as far as they're talking to your attorney, or is this case being kept alive by you and your wife?
Yeah, God bless New Order. You know, my wife, New Order has been so effective and, with the rallies and marching. You know, my wife even became part of the organization, and she take on a significant role in the organization. So, they've been very out front with us. Gerald Rose, that's a great guy.
Is your attorney a paid attorney?
Yes. I have Kenneth Muhammad.
I know who you have. I'm asking, is he a paid attorney or is he doing it pro bono?
Okay, he's a paid attorney. For the appeal, now that the hearing is over with, he said he'll take it on. We won't have to pay him. So, if he goes to the next phase, he'll be doing it pro bono.
Okay, so is your case active now going to where do you stand now? Is your case active going to the appeal?
Right now, we're still waiting on the decision from Judge William McClain. May 21st of this year was when I went for the new trial hearing. So, it's been like close to 4 months now. We just waiting on him to make a ruling. And then, the next step.
I have more questions that I'm going to reserve. I'm going to reserve them for right now. But thank you so much, Kevin, and we're going to be definitely talking to some people when I'm done. But, Ryan, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for allowing me that time. There are so many questions in this case. It's so convoluted, and it's not the way the justice system should work. And as you can tell, it's just something's not making sense here, and people should be outraged that we can have innocent people just rounded up and put in prison because of the amount of money that you get for it's above $60,000 per prisoner to house them every year. Some people don't even make that going to work as middle-class, 9-to-5 people who work very hard. And prison systems, private prison systems, are set up that every prisoner that you have in there, and they contract through the states to keep those beds full. And I really do believe that they don't want the problem of really housing violent criminals. That would be problematic. And they put a lot of people who are innocent in these private prisons just to house them. And you hear about children being you know, given over to the prison system by corrupt judges. $60,000 plus per prisoner that is being paid, subsidized by taxpayer money, and housing innocent people in jail. This issue is really a problem because this could be paid towards more law enforcement and other preventative measures, and this case right here is just very disturbing.
It is. And I just want to and thank you, Pastor Vision Jones. I'll tell you something, Mr. Upkins. When you have Pastor Vision Jones on your side, he will turn over every stone to make sure justice is done. And he's an advocate, and he's a man of God. And you got an angel on your album, Mr. Upkins.
Hey, with him just knowing on Gerald Rose, and due to the questions he was asking, you know, it said a lot. You know, it said a lot, though.
Now, I have to ask you some questions. It's a radio show. I have to ask a question that it may be offensive, but I have to ask
them. No problem.
Okay. We have a lot of listeners, and please keep an open mind. We're talking about a man who, and we're going to go on asking questions. You can decide for yourself, but I happen to believe there is something going on here. I personally asked Mr. Pastor Vision Jones to come in for this interview because with his skills and his experience, he can help me. And so I want you to keep a clear head about a man who may be incarcerated on a false charge. That's all I ask. Is that fair, Mr. Upkins?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Upkins, I heard a little bit of an interview with your wife, Tamika, very lovely lady, and hopefully she'll be on a show tomorrow. Now, they mention a fingerprint, and they also mention a fingerprint of a terrorist. Can you elaborate on that? They're thinking that fingerprint is yours. I know you touched on it a little bit. How could that fingerprint be yours?
There's no way possible. Fingerprint, like it's clean cut and dry. This how I went. Okay, the state say I robbed this business, and they know because this is my fingerprint that, you know, they showing on the checks and the photos. And I come, you know, later. No, I didn't rob this place, and that is not my fingerprint. I'm tell you that is not my fingerprint. I'm not taking time, sir. I'm not taking there. We're going to try. That is not my print. So how you do that issue? You know, once I opt under the discovery statute, you know, Georgia law states that the state has to submit, you know, all the evidence that they plan to use in trial against the defendant at least 10 days before trial. Mm-hmm. You know, my lawyers, we got all kind of stories like the check. They can't find them. They at GBI. Once my attorney contacted GBI, GBI don't have them. You know, but one day before trial, they pop up. And not to mention the day that the check was received, you know, it's supposed to be securities evidence. There was no recording, no data done on the evidence. Period. No proof of preservance. No proof of location for two whole weeks. Mm-hmm. And then the detective
I just want to ask, how long do I have you, sir? Because I know that you're on a time limit, and I'm just getting an idea of how long my questions or how much questions I have to ask, because I do want to play your song. I do want to get your music out there. But how long do I have you for this interview?
I'm free right now.
Okay. So if you think there's no way your fingerprint could be there, so you must have in your mind, you must be set up. Do you have that in your head? Somebody set you up?
Exactly.
And could you elaborate who you may have set you up in this situation?
Well, on that matter, you know, I don't know if my attorney would want me to go into it. I trust him, I would love to, because, you know, it all makes sense to me. But, you know, due to the fact that I haven't hollered him, I wouldn't want to go there. But it comes from, you know, information being led to Douglas County through him.
Through
the guy.
Okay. I don't want you to say who. I understand that, sir. I'm going to try to go around it, and if you can't comment on it, just say no comment, because I do not want to get you in any kind of trouble whatsoever. I'm going to try to go around it. Do you believe that you were set up by law enforcement, or it could be set up by somebody you know?
Like, I initially believed it was somebody I knew, and then once everything came light to the law enforcement, you don't know what you're dealing with.
Right.
Especially when you're dealing with what they call informants or snitches or whatever, because of another independent offense that he sent them to me at. And I was ruled out as a suspect in it, you know, so that the information was false. So I believe both parts, you know, partook in it.
Okay. Now, how long have you been incarcerated, sir, on this particular charge?
It's been almost 5 years now.
5 years. And how many attorneys have you had working in the case? Have you just had one attorney, or have there been many?
Right now I'm on my third one. You know, I went from Dennis Scheid to Jennifer Knight. You know, and she was fantastic. She did her thing during trial. And now, Kenneth Muhammad, you know, who is also outstanding. They're working together.
Okay. Now, you're dealing with life. Life.
Like
what you said before, you said, you know, there's people in there right now who killed somebody. You know, and the circumstances, I'm going to say it, the circumstances evidence, well, of course, the fingerprint doesn't, I don't know if that's a circumstance evidence, I mean, but again, we're questioning that, but there's no other
evidence.
Well, just
an idea, Brian. Brian, if I might ask, how old are you, Kevin?
I'm 33 years old. I just turned 33 in September 9th, and I'll be wrong. At the time I was incarcerated, you know, my wife was 5 months pregnant with my son. So, you know, the only interaction and plan and, you know, that I had with him is Ben Hill. You know, he's 4 years old now.
Well, congratulations. I saw your son. I saw a picture of your son. Beautiful boy. Beautiful wife. And you got to have that person beside you. I mean, these people will take you through these terrible times. Can I ask you a question? I'm going to go back with the setup again. What would be a reason why somebody would do this to you? Do you have any idea?
Like I was saying with the guy who I believe involved me with it, you know, I had met the guy in the past, and then, you know, in the course of doing one of my shows at Club Crucial off of Bankhead, I forgot what they called it now, but, you know, off of Web. You know, Bankhead used to be. I bumped into the guy there, and, you know, due to the fact he was into the music, you know, I tried working with him. But, you know, we was on two different paths. You know, he was still on things that were enticing that I'm trying to run from, and, you know, I was, you know, focusing on the music. So, you know, I cut him off. And, you know, he's, you know, we just kick it. So, you know, I had stopped dealing with him. Mm-hmm. And shortly after that, that's when, you know, the first approach, when they came at me in another case, which I was ruled out as a suspect in after they investigated, because I wasn't even in Atlanta at the time of the incident. But, you know, this, you know, that's where I believe it came from, because, you know, I cut ties with them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, Kelly, I didn't mean to step on you, kiddo. Go ahead. Do you have a question?
I'm sorry, what's that, Brian? I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, I didn't mean to step on your question. Do you have a question for Mr. Upkin?
No, I just wanted an idea what you guys were talking about, life in prison, and just exactly what that meant in terms of years. I just wanted a rough idea of how old he was. I wanted people to understand this was a long, long life sentence for this man. He was a young man when this happened, and he has many years ahead of him. And
Kelly,
that's all I was getting at.
Kelly, this is Pat. I pretty much hear you have to serve like 30 years before you even become eligible for parole.
Wow.
Under Kevin.
Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
That can be a misconception. In Georgia, life means life. It means your natural life. It means you don't get out at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean what you see in the movies. It means you stay there till you die, which is why it's very important to let cases like these be known. There's a gentleman that was just released only when he had cancer and had a few, maybe I think he had a week to live, but stayed in there for the rest of his life. Also, I wanted to point out to the question that Brian asked, why do you think that this happened to you? I will say, Brian, that this is not an anomaly. Kevin's case is a case like Troy Anthony Davis's case, where you find one person who is so totally innocent of a case that they can represent the case, as with Troy Davis, where he was innocent but still put to death. And we found that even the Innocence Project has found over 140 cases of people who were on death row, who were getting ready to be executed, and were actually innocent and were exonerated by physical DNA evidence that they were not even there. This case, that the thing that's happening to Kevin Upkins here is not new. It is a system that has found a way to work the system, and they work it. The public defenders, all of this is not new. So I would just wanted to interject that.
Why you say the mouthful in?
I'm telling you, he's an angel. Now, where are we at right now, Mr. Upkins? Are you looking for a new trial? Are you currently going to trial? Where are we at?
On May 21st, 2013, I had the new trial here in front of the trial judge, William McClain. So right now, we're just waiting on a decision from him on whether he's going to grant the new trial or deny it. You know, from my standpoint, the way I see it, if he granted, you know, inshallah, I'll be able to get a bond. And, you know, because they denied me a bond the first time. Their reason for denying me a bond, I couldn't even understand it. I just got no break whatsoever. It was like they had their eyes set on me and was like, okay, this is who going down for you. And even the DA who handled this case, he not even with the DA's office no more, you know, in Douglasville. And then the district attorney, the head district attorney, he's taking so much heat from corruption, you know, dealing with drug seized money, like 90-some thousand, sexual harassment charge that been filed on him, people riding in official cars, that are working with the office. And, you know, this has been recently being reported in the news. You know,
oh, man.
few months ago. You know, as a matter of fact, on the page that they run for me, they have some links on there that you know, display some of the things that the DA is going through day to day.
Well, let me ask you a question, and maybe Pastor Jones can help me with the answer too. Are the judges, are they elected where you are, or are they selected to appear on the bench? Anyone, either you, Mr. Upkins, or Pastor Jones can answer that. Are they elected officials, or are they?
Judges are elected officials, which is why it's very important to vote. Also, the district attorney is also an elected position.
Okay.
But the thing about it with the election out there is, you know how it was when the president first, when he first ran for office, and then people, especially the black community, people who never even thought about vote, probably never even wrote the word vote down, was out there campaigning, to get the president in office. But this day and time, people don't understand the significance of getting out there, learning who the officials are that are running for the positions. And if the community don't get out there and cast their vote, then, like the same way you said, they found a way to work the system, they found a way, because it was an investigation, involving the voting and elections out there in Douglasville. As a matter of fact, my wife, she has, a printout of the investigation that took place, some of the calls. So, I had to add that part to it.
Yeah. What about can the governor do anything? See, I want to make a call tomorrow. I want to make a call. I don't think I can get through to the judge. I can probably get through to the governor's office, and I don't know if he has anything to do with this right now. Am I wrong here, Pastor Jones? I see no reason why he can.
The governor is the president of the state, so to speak. He can do whatever he wants. There might be recommendations and rules. I think the lack of a better way of saying this, I think people really don't understand how truly Southern Georgia is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the Old South. Mm-hmm. Things that happen in Georgia, you would think you're back in the 50s. There are certain things that happen here that people outside of the South wouldn't believe you could do this legally.
It's true.
There are things that I could say on this radio station that I knew happened, and you would think it's a conspiracy, or you would think I have lost my mind, and yet I know it, and yet I know that it happened. And so this is why I keep bringing up the Troy Anthony Davis case. When you have Desmond Tutu, an international, well-respected person, you had the Pope at the time, you had a former FBI correctionals officer saying, look, this man cannot be put to death. There is no evidence. 9 witnesses, 7 have said that we've been coerced. There is no other evidence. You watch CSI for people who do, and you see that we have all this forensic, all this science. If a person fires a gun, if there is a gun, if there is something, they will find it. They will find DNA. They will find your hair. They will find something to tie you to the scene. When a person cannot be tied to by physical evidence and you use coerced witnesses, 7 of which had recanted their story, and you used 2 witnesses that were left, one of which was a suspect in the case, to convict a man and sentence that person to death and execute that person using the Supreme Court, and all the players came out of Georgia, including Clarence Thomas, all the players, the district attorney who could have pulled the death warrant and have said, give more time. When you understand how truly corrupt and prejudiced the Georgia criminal code is, the chances of the governor doing anything would be very remote unless you have a lot of public pressure on there. And that's why I asked what organizations are helping him at this point in time, because we do need more people to bring this to light. As I said, Gerald Rose is an upstanding person, very, very, I find him to be very open and very honest in how he approaches cases. So I do not believe we're being misled here. I've read up the case, and everything here does not make sense. And I do know how the system railroads these young men, especially if we do not sound intelligent. We're already prejudiced if you're not speaking a certain way. And so this is why we have to stand up as civil rights leaders for those who are less fortunate, for those who can't stand for themselves, to be a voice for the voiceless. And what Kevin just said a while ago, that voting piece, that district attorney that's going to convict your child innocently, he got voted in. And oftentimes when you look at these ballots, they are not challenged. You could, I hate to see ballots where you have the same person and there's no opposition. If you had to put a cat on the ballot, somebody should be running against this person. They should not have a job every 4 years without working for it, without going through a job interview. We can't. So how do these people just get shoot in time after time because they have no opposition and because people won't go vote? Kevin said something that's very true right there, because you can see the real-life implications of not voting. Voting is more valuable than your money. Voting is more valuable than your house, because it's what's going to cause you to make money or not make money. It's what's going to cause you to keep your house or lose your house. The most important thing to anyone in this country is their ability to remove those who are making life difficult for them to live.
Okay.
I have to remind everybody that we're, and I hope this didn't go by the wayside, and just bear with me for a minute. I saw the outrage with Trayvon. I saw white, black, Jewish, everyone. I even saw a protest in Beverly Hills. I've never seen that before for justice for Trayvon. And the black community knows every day in Chicago, whatever, there is a Trayvon. But when we separate ourselves, and I'm saying this out for me, this is Brian Hammer Jackson saying, when we have injustice for one, we have injustice for all. And what that means is it's not a black thing. It's not a Mexican thing. It's our thing. It's our thing to have justice. That's all we're asking, justice. We're not asking anything, any special privileges. But when you get railroaded, and I'm not saying this is a railroading. I'm still keeping my mind open, Mr. Upkins. I'm sorry. I have to. I will go blindly. I swear I will go blindly. Anything that Pastor Jones does, I will go blindly because I believe in him so much. But just for being objective and a internet radio personality, I have to be objective. But the point of the matter is injustice for one is injustice for all. And people have to get involved. It's no longer the United States. We're a divided states. If you can let a race or a religion take a fall for something they did not do, we must be united. We must have everyone have justice. Our black leaders in our community, your voice has got to be louder. You've been silenced. We need.
Brian, I agree with you. I agree with you. It's not a black thing. I'm sorry to cut. It's not a black thing. The thing that makes it about race in everything we do is when one group of people are used as a scapegoat. At one time, the Asians were used as a scapegoat. We used the Latino community as a scapegoat for immigration reform when we know that we have people coming from Europe and all the other places around the world. And you use one group of people to cause and say that this is the problem or this is a group of people that's causing the problem. And so when it becomes a black thing, so to speak, is when you criminalize which what allowed Trayvon Martin to be profiled. When a person not of color can, and even a person who is Hispanic, can now profile an African-American, and because they've been, through the media and through other things, criminalized, we are already guilty trying to prove innocence as opposed to innocent trying to prove guilt.
That is true. That is so true. And what I'm going to do is, this really disturbs me. I expected to do a nice radio interview. I wanted to hear your story. I did. I wanted to be objective. I am. But the more and more I hear, my mother's from Savannah, Georgia. And the more and more I hear about this and reading the stats, you can't deny the stats, 10,000 people, men and women, are being falsely accused and time. We're talking about a young man, maybe of 23 or 24, already spent 5 years in prison. And you heard Pastor Jones said, life in prison means life in prison. How are they? I'm going to ask you a question. What is the ratio? I'm not going to say that because I can ask. I could probably, if I ask you, what is the racial thing compared to how many black men? Like, is it 40% black in prison and 20% white? I already know the answer. I'm not even going to ask you that because that's common sense. It's a silly question, and I'm not even going to ask that. But I already know the answer, and it's that.
Brian, let me say something, too. On my Facebook page, I have numerous Caucasians, whites, whatever term you want to use. When people are my friends, they're just my friends. But I have numerous white people on my Facebook page. When I speak of something, understand that the whites in this country are recognizing the racism in the law, and they're saying, not in my name. They're not like that. They don't want to have a country. They don't want. I was at the Capitol during one of the rallies, and a white lady who was next to me was in tears. She said, an older lady, could have been, my grandmother or something like that, and she was crying, living tears, saying, this is not the country my father fought for, my father died for. This is not the country. There are many people who say, not in my name. You are 4.3 times more likely to get the death penalty as an African-American in this country. So we don't want it to be about race, but when it's institutionalized, when the racism is coming from the institution, when it's built into the system, people who are not racist are having to carry out racist policies, and it's causing some cognitive dissonance. They don't want to see themselves putting someone in prison for life for something they did not do. People want to believe that this is a just world and people who do wrong should go to prison, should serve some form of time. But there's some things that is just excessive. There's some things that would not, like I mentioned, the Barbie bandits, they robbed the banks. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get life. So when someone looks at these disparities and you juxtapose them together and say there is something definitely wrong with how we administer justice in this country, and when I look at it, if I had shot a little white girl as a black person, I could not walk. I would have to serve some time. So how is it that you can do these things to African Americans and just, oh, well, it's fine. We have a issue with how justice is being served. We're not trying to make it black and white. The system has made it black and white.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree. Wow. I agree. Now, Mr. Upkins, what can we do, sir? What can we do?
Basically, this, like, pretty much how I'm gonna just give you a brief summary of how I started and what became the motive. Anyway, you know the motive, but what became our agenda. After I was sentenced to life without parole, I probably slept for probably like 3 days straight. I didn't want to eat or anything because I couldn't believe, out of all the people in the world, me, You know, I wasn't the best of people, you know, no choir boy or nothing, but, you know, to be in a situation like this, I'm like, wow. So I say I was probably watching TV. I was looking at the movie by Tyler Perry,
mm-hmm.
titled Daddy's Little Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I came up with the idea to do this movement because, you know, I learned, you know, I haven't been here 33 years, so, you know, throughout the course of history, you learn that, you know, if it happened once, it can happen again. You know, history just repeats itself. So I'm looking at the movie on Daddy's Little Girl, and I remember the gym was filled with the community. They were complaining to the city councilman up on the stage about the guys selling drugs in their neighborhood. And then the question hit me. I was like, man, how can I set something up like this? And what I did, I just took three sheets of paper, cut three floors in the county jail where it was, you know, they have a new jail now, but I took three papers and I categorized name, relative name, your relation, the number, you know, things of that nature. And on each sheet, I made two examples. And then, you know, I'm known throughout the jail because of, you know, me working with the guys, you know, going to the law library, and I'm always in visitation. And then, you know, people, you know, they shocked by the rallies and stuff that I'm, you know, talking to them, to have they folk to come join in on. And so, you know, that's where it got started. When I knew it was serious, when my wife was there in the state's capital, and she was up there with Senator Donzella James and, you know, talking to the legislators, that's when it really hit me that it was, you know, it hadn't got serious. So from that point, it just really been about raising the awareness, putting, you know, the case before people at home so they can come up with their own opinions. You know, one of my favorite shows is CNN. They got Anderson Cooper and Aaron Burnett. I'm big fans of them. And I would love to see they keeping them honest. Because Negativeville wouldn't be able to stand up to them like that, an investigation like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's basically all I've been doing. And it, due to the fact that I'm innocent, I know I'm innocent, you know, you will never meet somebody with the kind of time that I have who smile and kick it and still be willing to help people the way I am. Because I just know I ain't do this. I know I'm going home. That's just how it is in my heart. So, you know, I basically just been doing what I could to take care of my business as well. You know, stay down with the case, pushing the case, one thing. But, you know, setting up for, you know, my business, what I'm going to do afterwards, that's another. Mm-hmm. So those two different entities, and, you know, I keep myself occupied with my music, and, you know, I got so many people telling me to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to, you know, raise the awareness. Because even when I get out of here, and y'all can mark my words on this, even when I'm out of here, the movement don't stop. I got a blueprint for a non-profit organization and everything to keep. I'm talking about it's
now,
I just want to raise the awareness.
I understand. And, you know, it's funny. I'm listening to you, and you're trying to help others while you're facing life. You're trying to raise awareness, and you're trying to do this. I have not once heard you say, I'm trying to get my case here. I want somebody to help me look into deeper into my investigation, get me out of here. You mentioned, when I get out of here, I just want to make sure that there's awareness going on. That's very interesting. So you do see yourself getting out of prison.
Yes, I do.
Now, I mean, you're not going to be climbing over the wall or fences or anything. Okay, just checking. If you do, call me. If you're on the run, call me and we'll do a good interview. But
and Kevin, you know, your story, I'm going to be talking to somebody to see what they see about getting your story out, too, about that book. You don't realize it, but you had a lot to contribute to young men who are even losing their way, who are on the path. And your path, if you look at Judge Mathis, for example, if if he had a judge to do to him what they're doing to you, we wouldn't have a Judge Mathis, a popular, well, you know, articulate Judge Mathis today. So I really do think you have a lot to contribute when you do come out, and I'm going to speak that because this can't stand.
Well, how are we getting them out?
I'm starting to see more and more that apathy is just, it's too rampant. We have to get people not only to vote, but to become educated voters. And that's by making living examples, such as Kevin's case, putting that in front of them, because we have children, we have husbands, we have sons, we have, you know, brothers, we have uncles, we have, because it's primarily these males that are getting in there, and then the women that are getting incarcerated, they have all problems that we would need a couple of shows to deal with, what they deal with, being impregnated by guards and all these other things that's going on in that side of the arena. So we do need to have the voices of people like Kevin, yourself, Brian, and everything that you do, and I commend you. I just love you. I love Kelly, the support staff that allows these great shows to come forward, because
you,
someone has to keep talking. And if we all do, because we can't celebrate the dreamer and not consider the dream. Dr. King says, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We're having injustice after injustice, and someone needs to say, well, why? What is the point of celebrating Dr. King and having this monument in Washington, D.C., to say we are for justice, we are a country of laws, and it's being operated like racketeering, like the way, you know, the threat and the coercion of government. We're going to shut down and let the American people suffer till you give us what we want. Is this, like I said, that lady, she cried because so many people gave their lives during the Civil War for this country. So many people gave their lives to free this country from the monarch and the rule that it was under, the British rule. And they did not fight for a country where people could not be free, have the right to express themselves, have the right to defend themselves. We elected this government. We can unelect these people that are doing this and let them go in the unemployment line. We can't afford to have their friends and whoever continue a racket of sending innocent people to jail to line the pockets of private prisons so that the stocks can go up, so that they can live lavishly off the lives of innocent people.
That's true, but private prisons.
Even when people are innocent, or guilty, I should say, there should still be some kind of common sense law to where this is not worthy of life imprisonment. So a person should stay there for the rest of their lives so that the government can use them, or the prisons can use them to cut grass for free or 23 cents a day, so that they can use them to clean the libraries. You know, it's funny because they have all these inmate workers everywhere you look, and when they get out, they can't get a job anywhere. So there's something wrong with this racket that we're running. They're cutting grass. They're making products. Microsoft used them. Victoria's Secret uses them. The airline industry, aeronautics industry uses them. They build parts. They displace workers, ordinary workers looking for jobs in America, and they do this at something like 23 cents a day.
Victoria's Secret?
Victoria's Secret use the females. They sew. They put the stuff together, and they sell. Oh, of course. Microsoft uses them to make the keyboards, the things they grow. A lot of our foods that we're eating are coming from farms that are prisons. It's nothing more than a new form of Jim Crow.
Well, it is.
And
you're absolutely right.
It.
Well,
that's okay.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to play your music. I have one person who wants to talk to you. Her name is Destiny. She has a heart of gold. We're going to play your music, and I'm hopeful. hopefully your wife, Tamika, will come on tomorrow and we'll continue this, because we got to when Pastor Jones gets very passionate, all I could do is stay out of his way, because it's going to be a wave. It's going to be a wave. And if you're in his way, you're going to drown. I mean, the man was just, it's a wave. It's a movement. And I am. I am here for him. Anything that he needs, I will not just say, hey, it was a great interview. I look into things. It's heavy on my mind. I hang up the phone and Kelly is my executive producer. I said, Kelly, what can we do? How we go further? We got to investigate this. I'm not worried, because Pastor Jones is on a case, and I just wait for the phone, and he'll say, Brian, check this out. And I, yes, sir, because I know that he's looking for justice, and he's looking for answers, and he's looking to make sure justice happens. And I love the guy for that. What I'm going to do is let me ask you one question, Mr. Upkins. How much faith do you have in your attorney right now? If it was like 10 being, I trust this guy with my life, to 1 being, get me the hell out of here, what's the ratio here of the attorney that's representing you now?
See, I trust him because he's a professional in what he does, and I had opportunity to see him work in person when we went for the new trial here, and Russ Shaw.
Oh, okay, good. So you got good representation, and good.
Yeah, he's pretty sharp.
Okay, cool. Destiny, I'm gonna have you. Her name is Destiny, Mr. Upkins. She's gonna ask you a question, and then I'm gonna set up your music, sir. And Destiny, would you like to ask Mr. Upkin a question?
Well,
I know you've been holding.
Actually, I ask you to be patient with me, because I have something very important to say, and it's not a question. It's a comment from an observation.
Sure.
Okay. What I noticed from this young man is that what I heard is the fact that he actually experienced going through being in partnership with someone who wasn't so kosher in life, so to speak, who was making some bad choices, and he decided to break away from that man and do what's right in life and pursue his music career and do it the right way. And because the man was jealous, that's against him. What's the young man's name?
Mr. Kevin Upkins.
Kevin.
Yes, ma'am.
Kevin is a beautiful soul, sweetheart, who wants to do the right thing in life, who wants to support his children and his son and his wife, and wants to do the right thing. And he's being persecuted by a system that is racially prejudiced. That's what I hear from the South, something that I've been through because of my ex, so I hear what's going on. And I'm discerning appropriately. I'm sorry, I ran up the stairs.
That's okay.
I'm kind of out of breath right now. I want to sound funny, but...
take it easy. The man's in prison. Take it easy with your breath. You know, we don't want to get Kevin a little, you know, take it easy.
Oh, no, that's exercise.
All right.
Ryan, shame on you.
Man's been in prison.
Anyway, I believe with all my heart that God is going to deliver this young man, and he has an awesome story and testimony. Because he is being faithful. And as you pointed out before, he's not trying to look for answers, even though he needs answers. He's focusing on helping other people. That speaks volumes about his heart and his soul and the fact that he's innocent. He didn't do these things that he was accused of and locked up for. And those people that did this to him, they're committing not only acts of treason, but terrorism, acts of terrorism. But you know what? God is going to honor his soul and deliver this man, and there are going to be miracles that are going to happen in his life. And I'm telling you that right now. This gentleman, and I'm telling you, is a beautiful soul.
I thank you. I love you for that.
You're welcome, sweetheart. I love you, too, and I'll keep you in my prayers, Kevin, and your wife and your child.
And if you really love Kevin, run back down those stairs, come back up, and say goodbye to him.
know, my asthma is like acting up right now because I did a cayenne treatment today.
If you've been in prison for 5 years, asthma is really sweet music. Thank you, Destiny. We're going to listen to the music. Now, Mr. Upkins, you're writing music. I'm going to play it right now. The proceeds of your music, what are they going towards? Or are you planning on selling it? Go ahead.
I say about 5 months ago is when I had, matter of fact, it's around about the time I had went for the new trial here. I had got my music copyrighted, got it published. I'm with ASCAP, and I'm still going through the finalizing with registering online because I want to, and getting a clean version mixed to master so I could put it on the radio. It's just the whatever money that comes from it. I have a fundraising account set up on my web page as well. On both of those, the money that come from, I'm not even worried about what's going on. I'm just focusing on, my family being comfortable, and we have the means to do what it is we need to do, because like right now, this was a blessing to even be on this show. I didn't expect this. We're in the process of doing some 12x18 inch posters, and I had to lay out innocent man wrongfully convicted. It could have been you. A photo and join the movement. Log on it, justiceforkevinupkins.com. And I was gonna put it, start with Georgia first, and I got a little, a few plugs in California and New York, Ohio, and so I was just gonna, I'm just anything that I come up with, and my wife will tell you, I'm the worst when it comes to an idea, because an idea come to my head, I would lay back and blueprint till I come up with an approach that sounds good to me, and if it don't work, I just restructure and try it again until we get it. And so the money coming in, it'll be helpful to the library, pay some people for their services, or people will be more willing to jump and get the job done. I'll be able to tackle things a little I'll be able to be more effective.
Well, we're going to play that right now. And before I play, we got some people are listening to the show. We have one of our best listeners, our favorite, they're all our favorite, but Mr. Shabazz wanted me to give you a message. And Kelly, I don't have it on my screen. Oh, here it is. Mr. Cedric Shabazz, this is for you, Mr. Kevin Upkins. He said he's talking to my executive producer, but he's saying, I will be marketing this interview to mainstream media and Reverend Al Sharpton to let this case be known. I will do all I can to do this man. I would do all I can to make sure this man gets justice. And he also said, same person, Cedric Shabazz, please let Brian know that black men lifting up black boys will support Mr. Upkins 110%. So, Mr. Shabazz, again, man has a heart of gold, and he has also a radio show, but he's supporting you. He's supporting you. You're winning him over. You could run for president after this. Okay, you got that minor, that little minor life thing, but come on. I vote for you in Congress. Yes, Destiny.
Do you mind if I pray for Kevin real quick? I know that's odd and out the way, but do you allow praying on the radio?
I allow praying. You could ask Kevin. He may be Jewish.
Hello. I'm Messianic Jew. Hi, Kevin, do you mind if
I
pray for you right now?
I'm cool with it.
Okay.
I pray 5 times a day, so I'm straight with it.
There you go, Destiny. Lay it on him.
Okay, so I can say a quick prayer for him?
You sure can. You can.
Yes.
You sure can.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Father God, Adonai, Yahweh Elohim, in the name of Yeshua, I just come boldly before your throne, and I lift up my brother Kevin to you. I just thank you, Father God, for his very life and for his wife and his children. I thank you, Father, that you have a mighty work that you're going to do in his life, and what you started, you will complete what you began, as you promised in Philippians 1:6. I thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against him shall prosper, as it says in Isaiah 54:17. And I thank you, Father, that you are a God of restoration and hope and love, and that all these things will be turned around for good in his life, just as you did through Joseph. And I thank you, Father, that your perfect will be done. And no matter what happens, you will receive all glory, honor, and praise for the things that you are doing in this brother's life. I ask you to surround him and protect him and keep him safe. Guard his mind and guard his heart and help him to be strong in you, because you said in our weakness that you would be our strength, because we have no strength unless it comes from you. So be his strength now, Father. I stand in the gap for him and his family. Restore his life, and I know it will be done as we committed unto you, because you are faithful. In the name of Yeshua Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Destiny.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
And
listen,
y'all got me blessing like crazy.
I would also recommend that no matter what a person's belief system is, that they just continue to pray, and whatever positive energy, because we want to see a better world. We just can't go around talking about it. We have to do things. And that means that we have to become a part of it, no matter where we are, no matter who we are. And Brian said it earlier, we have to become united. There's a system that continues to divide, but the word does say that a house divided cannot stand. So if we are to prevail, then yes, we have to have the whites, the blacks, Jews, the Gentiles. We don't care. People have to come in one accord to say, we're going to make a better world, so that you have the right to serve who you want to serve and be who you want to be without being persecuted and targeted and scapegoated for that.
Amen. Yes.
Amen to that. Amen. And I see it. I see it. It's changing. The world's changing. I see it. I'm going to play your music. I have F With Ya Boy by KK. KK is your producer?
Oh, no. This is actually me.
Yeah.
This name, around the neighborhood, they called him KK.
Oh, they called you KK in the neighborhood?
Yeah. That's my nickname. People don't be like, hey.
Okay. That's not a good prison name, you know, Kevin. KK. Okay, no. Let's have
Kevin, is that extra K for the... that was funny, Brian. Kevin, is that extra K the Upkins? That K, first K is Kevin, and the second K is the Upkin? The K and the Upkin?
Hey, I just want to... Like, the reason what made me do this song first, because when I did come home, it was the neighborhood... It was standing behind me first, because I had brought all my partners and, some of the friends that kick it together. And I pretty much gave their lecture. I was like, man, y'all see what some of our own homeboy, like Young Jock, I grew up with him. He grew up, he stayed about four houses. My mom and his mom and aunts and uncle, grandma, all of them kicked together. They from around the area. So I'm like, man, look at these people, man. They riding. I'm giving them a lecture. So being that the hood was the ones who was, starting out with the support, I brought this song for them first. That's why I did it. Y'all would be amazed to hear what the rest that I got, though. I'm versatile.
Well, let's give a little taste here. I'm going to play it through my speaker. Forgive my speaker. I'm going to see if it works. Kelly, just IM me. Let me know if it's playing clear, okay? Because I want to do this music justice. Here we go. F With Ya Boy by KK.
Hey, KK back on this, y'all. Some years in the joint. Hey, y'all been eating. I need some. Play the game off. What you want? Hey, y'all. Hey.
Fuck with your mind. For real. Fuck with your mind.
Hey.
Y'all, they fuck with your mind.
Oh, man.
Your boy, KK. Yeah. Look at that. They love you. They love you. They love you. You know, I wish you the best. This is not going to go away. You have Pastor Jones with you. You got my voice out there. You got a good attorney. You're going to get out. You're going to get out. And you're doing
the survey.
Oh, Cedric Shabazz is with you. And
oh,
you got, and you know what I like, what you're saying. when I get out of here, you're already planning your future. When I get out of here, I love hearing you say that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you do. And we're going to end the interview, but is there anything that you want out there, Mr. Kevin Upkins, to let anybody or everybody know what's going on? Please, you got the floor.
I just want to let y'all know I'm truly innocent of this crime that I've been convicted of. The sentence was harsh. All I want to do is just get back to my family, provide for them, and do what I can to be successful, and then, you know, help others. That's it.
There you Here's a man. You still amaze me. Here you are facing life in prison. You're still talking about helping others.
Yeah, because
wow.
I know what it's like. I know what it's like. Like when you don't have certain facts, when you lack the knowledge of certain things, you know, I know the difficulty that people could go to. Because even in here, like, you'll step out and look at the majority of the guys that's in here, and you'll see how content they are. You know, whether it's playing chess, dominoes, looking at TV, or, you know, just in the group talking, or, you know, they content with it. It's like, you know, it don't bother them being here.
Mm.
And I be feeling sorry for some of the guys, you know, but, you know, it varies. So, you know, I understand what it's like to lack knowledge, because you ain't going to know how to move or address a certain issue if you don't. You know, have that knowledge. And that's what this whole thing has really been about, gaining information that they probably kept here from me, or, you know, so on.
Well, you know, to help others, every spare time you have, get in that law library. You are a very intelligent man. You are a smart man. You got into a situation where it can happen to anyone. I don't know why things happen, but maybe there's a reason for you to help others, and you have a gift, and your knowledge and the heart that you have about helping others and not balling up in the ball and saying, poor me, you're still fighting. I mean, we have to change your name from KK in prison, but other than that, you seem pretty good.
Hey, Brian.
You know, they,
you know,
yes.
You made a point, but the thing is, just because we have weak moments, everybody has weak moments, especially going through things this traumatic, especially when we're falsely accused or attacked unjustly, like what I've experienced is similar to what he's experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
But we have our moments, but that's what helps make us stronger. It helps teach us. It builds our character. It builds our strength. It builds our faith. So it doesn't mean that, you know, we're not going to have weak moments, and just because we have weak moments doesn't mean we're not going to make, and it doesn't mean we're not strong, because actually it means we're stronger because we're admitting where we're weak.
Yeah.
That's true. Amen to that, Destiny. Look at you. You're on a roll.
well, I experience it. I understand.
She speaks from the heart. Destiny was in a very abused relationship where she had to go to the witness protection program. She still has people after her. She can't even use her real name anymore. She's looking over her shoulder every 5 seconds. So she feels you. She's in prison even though there's no bars, and she feels where you're coming from. So anytime that you send a message to my executive producer, Kelly Corbin. I want to let everybody in that prison know that Kelly is available for everyone there. Kelly Corbin.
Excuse me?
Huh?
You mean Kelly? For helping them if they have a cause? I hope.
I don't know. Say hello to the prison, Kelly.
Oh, God.
It was probably how you see it. She's available.
Yeah. And everybody in prison know.
my husband would enjoy that.
Yeah, right. Hey, honey, what did you do today? Well, I'm raiding the prison. They love me.
Man, I appreciate y'all. With my wife here, I know she ain't. Lose that. You know, I thank y'all so much. So
you're welcome.
Hey,
you're
Brian,
welcome, my friend.
Do me a favor.
yes,
tell him
yes,
to
Destiny.
Give his wife my phone number, and anytime she wants to call and needs a prayer partner or just a friend to talk with, tell him to tell his wife to call me. She can have my phone number, okay?
Well, you can. He can hear, yeah. Do you want to talk to him? He can hear you.
Okay, Kevin, yeah, tell your wife to call me anytime she wants to talk or needs prayer or just needs a friend to talk with to help her
all
through,
right.
You know, because I know it's tough being away from you and then being, you know, raising the baby by herself until you get back home. I know she loves and misses you so much. So I'll
Destiny,
be her
send
big
me that
in, I'll be
information
her
and Destiny, send me the information and I'll make sure that Kevin gets it for his wife.
Okay, I will. Thank you. Yeah,
why do I think,
want me to email it to you?
Yeah, why do
yeah,
I think there's going to
be
a guy fun. Who's 6'7" going, "Hello, I am Mr. Upkin's wife. I heard you had asthma."
Brian.
Okay, I'm just saying.
That's why I said give the information privately. Okay, anyway, yeah. I'm not that naive yet. I mean,
Destiny,
I'm,
yeah,
that, I'm not that naive.
Yeah,
crazy. Destiny, is it the number that you called in on that you want him to have?
Yes, yeah. That's it. Yes, correct.
Okay, I'll send that to him now. I've got that now, so I'll send it to him.
Yeah.
And I'm
going
to leave
okay,
the last
thank
word
you.
To... Thank you, Destiny. You're very sweet. I'm going to leave the last
very
word
well.
To Mr. Pastor Vision Jones, sir. We're going out there. If you can give some wise words or a prayer to our friend Mr. Kevin Upkins, you have the floor, sir.
All right. Thank you so much. And thank you, Brian, for showcasing and putting this out into the public airwaves.
You're welcome,
We are the miracle that we're looking for. We are the ones that we seek. The show was very powerful, and I want Kevin to understand that you know, you have a lot of people looking at your case now who are going to be asking questions, and so therefore I want you to continue to do what you're doing. Keep being a positive role model wherever you go. Because we don't understand why things happen, but sometimes bad things happen to good people. We're not perfect. My sin is not better than your sin. And so we've all made mistakes. It's a part of life. But what is going on with you is a travesty of justice. No one deserves to be put in prison for the rest of their life for a possible fingerprint on a check. That is very questionable. So there are a lot of things here that that are very upsetting. But I want you to remain positive, and I want you to remain a role model for those in the prison and around you, even at your age, that you can still be a role model for those older than you, and you have the support of those who are counting on you to make sure that you know that when you walk there and when you speak, you actually carry those people who believe in you with you, because you want to make sure that you understand that a turtle sitting on a fence post didn't get there by itself. You're not going to get there by yourself. Your wife, your newborn, you want to make sure that you're taking this mantle, this baton, and running with it the best way that you possibly can, so that it'll make a difference to those who come behind you.
Yeah.
Amen. That's true. That's true. You are now a leader and a motivator, Mr. Upkins.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there are people that you will reach.
I don't feel it, but
yeah, there are people that you will reach and touch, the guys that you can inspire where you are. We don't have access to those people. And as someone has helped you, like I said, you didn't get there by yourself. You have the right heart. You have a heart of service. That's a gifting. Some people just have a heart to serve others. And I do believe that your attorney fighting on your behalf, you know, when you do get, you know, the sales of your records and so forth and so on, part of that needs to go to a defense fund to help him, to help others who have also been wrongly accused to have that pattern so they're not railroaded. So you can actually strategize and make some kind of endowment or program available to teach young men coming from the streets, and I do know the reputation of the area you came from, but it doesn't matter. You can be born in the ghetto. The ghetto is not born in you. And so you coming out and setting the example that you're setting for others, even where you are, that doesn't determine who you are. I'm a military veteran, and when veterans are captured in a country, yeah, you might be a Vietnamese cat, but that doesn't mean you stop being an American. That doesn't mean you stop being who you are, a family man. That doesn't mean you stop all the values and the things that makes you intrinsically who you are. So I would say continue to be positive. Put your message out there. You can reach people that we can probably not reach. And don't buy into the argument that, you know, you're selling out or any kind of foolishness like that, because that's what keeps us trapped.
Yeah.
And they use those things to continue this cycle. And I just would like for it to be broken. And it takes one candle to light another candle and another candle to light another candle. And we all glow the same way. We don't have one person overshining another person. We are all integral in how we will help and push this country and this world forward. All right?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. And before you leave, I think we have one person here, Miranda. Miranda, can you hear me?
And how are you?
Miranda?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. How are you and where are you from?
Oh, I'm doing amazing. This is Miranda, the lipstick reader. Hello.
My lips, is it, okay.
This is the Miranda.
It's Miranda, Brian.
Oh, Miranda, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Miranda.
I didn't know you were another one that had this sexy voice.
Well, I cheated on you. Miranda, have you been listening to the story? Do you have anything to say to Mr. Kevin Upkins?
Well, yes, I do. I heard the last couple of minutes. I've been on the road. We have a huge event tomorrow that I definitely want to pass on to your listeners.
Sure.
But, Kevin, you know, I'm 20-plus years Navy veteran. I am so with you. I've never been able to articulate the way you say it, and that is you may be from the ghetto, but the ghetto is not you. And, you know, that's something that I've always believed. I just didn't know how to articulate. So thank you for that gift.
Okay. And Miranda went through a lot of things. She served our country. She got involved in allocations. She got into a situation that was not good. She had to fight her way through. Miranda, we got about 1 minute. Tell me. Pitch me, baby.
All righty. Well, I would like to invite your listeners. We have a psychic lipstick reading with Art Fair in Carlsbad, near San Diego. The phone number is 760-476-1498. The reason I want to mention this on air is that we are literally going to be dedicating this particular show to the Brian Hammer Show, meaning that if anyone comes to this event and they mention they heard it on your show, they are going to get absolutely free readings, food, entertainment. It starts at $25.
Wow.
Your guests will come in.
Wow.
Absolutely free for being such loyal listeners.
Wow. Well, I got a lot of good people in prison. Can they come too?
You know, absolutely. Because you know what? I'm going to teach them how to break out of that cell, how to break out of their entrapment. You know what, Brian? Brian, your best audience is the captive audience.
You're absolutely right. I love you to death, Miranda. Please tell people one more time, how they get a hold of you.
Well, they can actually get a hold of me personally at 866-609. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I forgot my phone number. Just go to mirandaskiss@gmail.com. And, of course, call Brian personally. I'll give him all the information. We are moving and shaking. And you know what? If you have that nagging question, whether you should leave that scumbag or if he's the love of your life, this is the time to come and get that free reading.
Wow. I got to make
sure
my girlfriend never goes to you. I'll be left alone. Thank you, Miranda. I love you dearly.
You're welcome, darling. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Ciao.
All righty. Bye,
ciao,
everybody.
Miranda.
Kevin, please tell people where they can reach you on your website or our Facebook page so you get some more people.
Kevin Hopkins is on Facebook, and the family is running it, and the website is www.justiceforkevinhopkins.com, and the four can be FOR or the number four, it don't matter.
That's it. Thank you, my friend. It's been a fast interview. I really appreciate your time. Appreciate your heartfelt story. You have touched many people. In fact, our executive board or our board producer, Diane, was crying through your interview. That's how loves you. Pastor Jones just coming to help. It's everything to me. I want to thank him for his time. He dropped. But knowing that you have people on the outside who are with you, Kevin.
Yeah. I know they know.
Yeah. And remember, you're a role model now. You got to get in there. There's going to be people scared. You're a motivator. You're a role model. You're going to go into that library. You're going to look at the laws. Education is power. Be the most powerful person wherever you are right now. And know those laws. Help. You can only help the inside. We can only see on the outside. Get those guys justice. Get yourself out of there. And whatever I can do, Brian the Hammer Jackson, I'm with you, buddy.
That was so right. Oh yeah, one more piece of information that I had forgot to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how this looked. My attorney, they're drawing up something to push to change the law. You know, and it has something to do with the time. And, I think the senators and legislators are, in tune as well. And I don't know how far along they done came or where they at. But, that's where I had got worried of.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully we could do an interview with your attorney because we want to do everything we can. We really do. And I really believe it. Injustice for one is injustice for all. And we got to make this right. And I'll do whatever I can.
All right.
Now, you have enough cigarettes. You don't have to, you want me to send you some cigarettes so you get some favors done or anything?
Hey, you out of chain, man.
I don't know.
You can't, man.
I know. You're so you're safe where you are. You could be out with the crazy people.
Because they would respect me around.
Brian, you're going to need to edit this one before you send it to Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, really.
Hey, I'm crazy for real, man. Hey, I'm a real, but I'll bet you that.
Well, I'll be stalking Anderson Cooper. But thank you so much, sir. Have a great, keep your chin up, be strong, have a great day, and thank you. Anytime you want to come on, you let me know, and anything you have to say, we'll get it out there. And
it was so.
And send us some more
and
music.
And always remember, if God be for you, who can be against you? None.
There you go.
The numbers, because, I want to have some direct numbers. Y'all can put where that communication first started, y'all could put it, leave it there. I want all y'all numbers.
Okay. Okay. We'll make, excuse me. I have a cold. Thank you. We'll make sure that we get all those numbers together so you have these direct links to the people who can help you.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Misty.
Kevin, thank you.
Kevin, what's for dinner tonight?
It was some spaghetti. It didn't sit well in my stomach, so I ate a portion of it. I missed the pears and the cookies though.
Now OJ got the cookies. OJ got busted for getting those cookies, so there's some good cookies.
Oh yeah, and thank Pastor Jones too. Pastor Jones, he let up?
Yeah, he hung up. He had to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Real talk.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He met with you. He knows your case. And if I know Pastor Jones right now, by the time I hang up, he has done so much work for you. He's investigating right now, and he will be in contact with me. And he is not going to rest until he finds out what's going on and gets justice for you. So he's a real angel on your side.
Each one of y'all probably, well, like the numbers that y'all leave, y'all probably hear from my wife, if not tonight, probably tomorrow. Because I believe we'll probably be able to set it up. But her breaks that she when she go on break, it be around 9 a.m. and I think she had one around 1:00.
Okay, we'll probably
1:00. That's Eastern time, so that would be perfect for our show if she wants to.
We'll have her on for 10 minutes because we don't want to use all her break up. Yeah, tomorrow on Brian the Hammer Jackson Show, we'll continue the interview with Tomika Upkins. That is Kevin Upkins' wife. Very lovely lady.
Pretty name.
Oh, she's a very lovely lady, and the kid is absolutely beautiful. I better let you go because it sounds like somebody's breaking out. Must be the spaghetti.
All right. Y'all be easy.
All right, you too, Kevin. Be strong.
Take care, Kevin.
All right.
Bye, Kevin.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Upkins. Destiny, thank you. Oh, it's a pleasure having you on the show, sir. And Destiny, thank you so much for the prayer and the beautiful words.
You're very welcome. I understand what he's going through to a degree.
And also, Destiny, Robbie and Mel, my condolence, my heartfelt love, my prayers,
and I'm
sorry.
And for your mom as well. Yeah, I know. I really thought he was going to make it, even though he was in stage 4 cancer, but... Yeah, that was still shocking to me. I really thought he would be able to overcome.
I'm
sorry to hear about your mom.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Well, you know what? Like I said, for a lot of people, where my mother is and where Robbie's brother and Mel's brother is, cannot be in any other better, you know, you can't get mad. They're in the hands of God and the Lord. I mean, what are you going to say? Hey,
yeah,
what are you doing up here? Come on down here.
And then the thing is, and then too, I mean, even though we miss them so much and we love them and miss being in their presence, they're, a part of them is always with us in our heart and soul, all the times that we spent together with them that here on this earth, you know, they're still with us in some way. They're still a huge part of our life and who we are today that makes us who we are.
That's true.
You know, those times have been blessings that are still with us, even though they're not with us. We love them, but they're still with us to a degree.
When are you coming to L.A.?
Oh, dear.
Oh, okay. I forgot you're on the Witness Protection Program. You can't say it. But L.A. could be Louisiana. For all I know is you're calling me from a phone booth. Over. Is that you, Destiny? Okay.
Oh, you're so funny. One day I need to come on. I don't know if you have business day on Fridays, but I need to give you and Kelly some information advertising for an artist friend of mine. So I told her I would send her some information to get permission for that.
Friend of yours, Friday we usually have business day. So have her come on Friday.
Yeah, that's what I figured it was. So I'll send the information in advance.
Thank you, Destiny.
I always love your show. It's always very interesting, and you always talk about issues that need to be discussed that most people consider taboo. And that's what I love about you and Kelly, because y'all are strong advocates for justice and for what's right. And that's admirable. That's awesome. Well,
thank you. And Kelly would say, and I can't speak for Kelly, but thank you so much. Kelly, would you like to respond?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Absolutely. That means a lot, Destiny. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Destiny, I have this to say to you, okay? Because I know you're a single woman. This is what I'm going to say to you.
No, I'm not anymore.
Uh-oh. You're not?
No.
Oh. What is this? No. I'm not going to give you that anymore. Well, congratulations. Look at you.
I'll just say it's a dream come true.
Really?
One day I'll tell you.
Have you guys you know,
it's a fairy
consummated.
Tale. Actually,
oh.
It's a fairy tale.
I once knew a guy. I once knew a fairy tale, but he was in West Hollywood, if you know what I mean. He was kind of woohoo. But so have you guys consummated
this? This is beyond that. Okay.
Wow. So have you seen? So have you consummated the friendship? You know what I mean?
Brian, you were always asking me questions
mm-hmm.
that are inappropriate, that are
mm-hmm.
rude, but I love
mm-hmm.
you.
Exactly. I don't think it was inappropriate.
No, we're not married. No, we're not married yet. No, not yet.
You anyway. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you're not going to consummate until you get married?
That is not.
You're not.
That's,
you know, we're. How do I?
Brian, that's for the TMI channel.
How do I diplomatically say that? I love you, Brian. I love you. Okay, let's talk about something
okay.
more appropriate.
I will change
okay.
the subject because you're uncomfortable.
Thank you. You're a sweetheart. All right, you're cool.
Okay. Have you seen his private parts?
Brian?
Brian?
Well, nowadays they can
Brian,
just fax it over to you. Okay.
Oh, God, we serve. What a
okay.
mighty God we serve.
Okay.
Angels
I know. Oh, what a world.
Him.
What a world.
And
I'm shrinking. I'm shrinking. Okay, wait a minute.
I know how to deal with you. Okay.
How long you been in love? How long have you been in the relationship?
I'll let you know one day when I'll discuss all the particulars with you one day. Just let it be right now, and then I'll tell you.
Okay. Well, I'm happy for you. Are you
awesome.
Happy? Are you happy?
How do you say euphorically past every planet in our universe?
That you had orgasm three times? That's usually how they say it.
That doesn't mean that. That does not mean that.
Well,
okay,
in my world it does.
How do you say living in a dream come true, and so much so to where you have to pinch yourself, is this really real? Am I awake or am I only dreaming? If I'm awake, don't let me fall asleep, and if I'm asleep, don't let me wake up, that kind of thing. Yeah, like
I think
that.
You just said, oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
I think you're
so
in
much
love. Yeah. Wow. Diane just needs a can of beef jerky and some beer. Same thing.
Well, do you want to hear something I wrote for my love? And this will explain exactly how I feel.
Wow. Then that tells me you got some. Then no woman feels like that if they haven't touched a naughty naughty.
That's not always true.
Well, in my case it is. They usually hate me until they touch the naughty naughty.
Do you want to hear what I wrote, and then you'll know how I feel?
About him?
Yes, this is how I
okay, can
you.
Okay, can you just put my name in place of his name and read it?
No, I don't even have
okay.
his name in it. This describes him without his name. There's nobody that touches his.
But this is really about me, though,
place.
Right? Come on. You know it's really about me.
It's funny.
All
you
right,
have a
let
big
me.
Head. I'll have a look at your sweetheart, my brother. Okay.
All right.
Tranquil thoughts of you soothingly caressed my heart with every swirl of the ocean's gentle breeze, embracing the entirety of my very being as its waves lulled me into a euphoric state of being. The doors of my heart will always be open for you, a kindred spirit with such a deeply beautiful soul. A precious, rare, earthly treasure so full of gifted gemstones that always emits the brightest light everywhere you go, a light of the purest, gentle love that pierces even the darkest of corners in life. As I ponder the remembrance of your soothing, sweet voice so full of loving melodies, it permeates the very depths of my soul with resonating notes filled with such blissful joy. I begin to saunter through the memories of every word you spoke directly to me, realizing just how precious your friendship truly is, realizing that this very gift is a most rare treasure that is highly priceless within my heart, one that I value and hold so dear to the utmost degree. With thoughts of you, my heart races through open fields with dancing, towards the sound waves of your sweet as honey emitting the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. It fills my heart and every fiber of my being with the purest love and the deepest admiration for you. I will never forget you, and I will always love you with every breath that I take of every moment of every day. You are my only soulmate that I will never forget one second of.
Thank you, Kelly, but now let's listen to Destiny's poem. Go ahead, Destiny.
Huh? I did.
Oh, I thought that was just Kelly talking to me, telling her how she feels about me. Well, that was very nice. No,
huh?
You know what? I thought, you know what? You are such a romantic. You have so, you know, your mouth is pretty damn good. You got a pretty mouth. Here, let me give you that. You got a pretty mouth. Does it, CJ?
Thank you.
Yes, you do. You know what? I bet you even moan in poems.
Huh? That just went over my head. What?
Mine too. It went over everybody's head, trust me. Meaning that you, except for Diane, there we go.
I was speaking the poem with my heart.
Let me clarify what I meant. I meant that when you talk, you are so elegant. And I can imagine I have never met anybody so romantic as you. I want to put a vision in your head and fill the blank in for me, okay? I see dinner, you know, I see a beach and there's a table there and you're dressed in a very elegant outfit and a guy's in a tuxedo and you're having red wine and the ocean in the background and the candles. How's that, huh? And then like you drop your spoon and then he spanks your ass.
Wow, you go.
Oh dear, Brian.
All right. I try to be a romantic. Look what I get.
Okay, sweetheart, I've got to go. I have some.
That's what they always say.
Seriously, I do. I've been on here for so long that I literally have to go take care of business now.
Hey, I'm going
to
introduce myself. My name is Business. Listen, Destiny, don't blush.
You didn't even notice my English accent.
I was busy dropping.
From England.
Oh, your love is from England? He's an English person?
It's
cheese and crumpets? And how about some bangers?
I see London, I see France.
Yes. I see Destiny in her underpants. So Destiny, how did you meet a guy from England? God Save the Queen. How did you meet this guy? Is it Mickey Rollins?
I'm actually distant related to Princess Diana and the royal family.
Yeah, I know
honest.
You are.
Yes, distant,
I know you
distant
are.
Related. Yeah. Anyway, but that doesn't matter. That's not what makes a person who they are. It's what's inside that counts. It's not what, it's not materialism,
and it's not what's
in the heart.
You're right, and that's what most men want, Destiny, just what's inside. Yeah. Love you.
I love you, too.
Okay.
Thanks for that one, brother.
Yeah, I know. Only you and I got it, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart.
And thank you,
you
for
too.
Letting me be a part
and,
of the show.
And Destiny,
I
you're going
to
be, you know, well, you're more than welcome. You're family. And Destiny, your profile will be up later on this afternoon on the MVP On Demand Network. And thank you so much. I kid with you.
Oh, cool.
We can joke back and forth, but you know I love you like a sister. You know that.
I know. And that's why I let you get away with it, because
I know
you're my brother and my best friend. So, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
That's the only reason you get away with it now. Feel privileged, honey.
I do. All right, baby. Go save
all
the
right,
world.
Y'all have a wonderful day. Love y'all. Hugs and kisses. Bye-bye.
Love you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, Destiny.
Ciao.
Bye-bye, sweetheart.
Oh, dear.
They always end it on the air. I mean, they always end the show that way, Ken. Well, thank you.
Tito, I need a tissue.
I want to thank our guest today, Pastor Vision Jones. I want to thank also Cedric Shabazz for interacting with us through Facebook. I want to thank, of course, our guest, Mr. Kevin Upkins. He has a Facebook page. Check him out. Talk to him. Give him support. His music is good. I like his music. Support him, please. You know, I want to thank, of course, the MVP players and the MVPs of the Brian and Hammer Jackson Show, the most valuable players, Mr. Jeffrey Bertrand and Diane Mears-Dillon. I want to thank Carrie Brooks, Miranda, and Destiny, of course, and Kelly Corbin. Yes.
Come on, you're not going to thank her, but yet you'll send her off to prison?
Hey, we need the ratings. And Kelly, when you get to collect calls, patch them through when we're live on the air. There goes Kelly running to the prison. Hello, boys. Oh, of course, she's going to be on a flight 420. Excuse me. But wait, I don't want to end it that way. I don't want to end it that way. Wait, Kelly, get her back from the plane. Kelly, get off the plane. Okay.
Wow.
She just leaves the studio as fast as she can. And I think Diane was driving that plane, too.
I would be, actually. It is flight 420.
Yes, I know, really.
So I'll be flying it real high.
Yeah, I know you will be. Woo! Everybody, thank you so much. And on the theme of Georgia, we're going to leave you with this. Unless Diane and Jeff, do you have anything you want to say?
No, I mean, this was just a real touching show.
Yeah.
It sure was. I'm getting feedback on it, too. There's a lot of people who are saying what a great show it was. Efrain was listening to it, and he was taken back by it. It touched a lot of people's hearts today.
We did two good shows. Thanks to you, Kelly Corbin. Thanks to you.
Well, I bring you what comes to me.
If only that was true. If only it was true.
I'm like the Cowardly Lion.
It was only true.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Well,
boy, we
I'm
all
leave
sound
you.
Terrible.
We are. We all got the code. I'm going to leave you with a theme of Georgia. And here you go.
Oh, I thought you were going to play a different one.
He was on his way home from Candletop. Been 2 weeks gone and he thought he'd stop at Webb's and have him a drink before he went home to her. Andy Wolow said hello, and he said, hi, what's doing, Wolow? Said, sit down, I've got some bad news, it's gonna hurt. He said, I'm your best friend, and you know that's right, but your young bride ain't home tonight. Since you've been gone, she's been seeing that Amos boy said. Well, he got mad, and he saw red, and Andy said, boy, don't you lose your head, cause to tell you the truth, I've been with her myself. That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. That's the night that they haunted the innocent man. Well, don't trust your soul to no backwoods southern lawyer. Cause the judge in the town got blood stains on his chain. Well, Andy got scared and left the bar. Walking on home cause he didn't live far. See, Andy didn't have many friends and he just lost him one. Brother thought his wife must have left town, so he went home
only thing Papa had left him, and that was a gun. Then he went off to Andy's house, slipping through the backwoods quiet as a mouse. Came upon some tracks too small for Andy to make. He looked through the screen at the back porch door, and he saw Andy lying on the floor in a puddle of blood, and he started to shake. The Georgia Patrol wasn't making their rounds, so he fired a shot, took the flag him down. And a big belly sheriff grabbed his gun and said, "Why'd you do it?" And the judge said guilty in a make-believe trial. Slapped the sheriff on the back with a smile. Said, "Supper's waiting at home, and I gotta get to it." That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. That's the night that they haunted the innocent man. But don't trust your soul to no backwoods southern lawyer, 'cause the judge in the town got blood stains on his hands. Well, they hung my brother before I could say the tracks he saw while on his way to Andy's house and back that night were mine. His chief wife had never left town, and that's one body that'll never be found. See, little sister don't miss when she aims her gun. That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. Oh, oh, oh. That's the night that they haunted the innocent man. Oh, oh. Well, don't trust your soul and no backwoods southern lawyer.
Georgia. Enough said. Thank you guys so much, Diane, Jeff, and Kelly.
Couldn't you have picked a different song?
That was a little inappropriate.
I know.
But, you know. If you listen to the words.
What the hell were you thinking?
Yeah, what the fuck were you thinking?
I don't know. I'm gonna have to look at the lyrics.
The night they hung an innocent man? I mean, come on.
Well, you know, it
happens. I thought you were going to play something like Rainy Night in Georgia or something.
Oh.
Or Georgia on My Mind.
Mm. I was waiting for George. Ray Charles, brother.
Yeah. Or Sweet Georgia Brown, but.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Mr. Inappropriate.
Yep.
Love you guys. From Jeff Bertrand, Diane Mears Dillon, and Kelly Corbin. Thank you guys. I love you to death. And Carrie Brooks. And see you guys tomorrow on Ryan Hammer Jackson Show. Well, it's not my show. It's all of our show. See you tomorrow on the MVP On Demand show.
With your MVPers.
With our MVPers.
Emphasis guys. On peers.
Exactly. See you guys tomorrow.